sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, February...
Fourth.
Thank you very much. It's the fourth.
I think it's, yeah, it's the fourth.
Of course it's the fourth. I need to know that. I just wondered if you knew.
Yeah, of course. Hey, I got it right the first time, right?
Yeah. Well, today's a special day because Facebook is celebrating 10 years. They started February 4th, 2004. So 10 years, they totally changed our lives, huh?
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, there's another anniversary.
There's
today
another
too.
Anniversary. I just realized I didn't know if it was the same time as Facebook, but LA Talk Radio today is 6 years old, and I'm extremely, extremely excited. You know, and let's see.
Oh, here we go.
There you go. So it's our birthday today, and I'm really excited, man.
Happy birthday, LA Talk Radio.
Yeah. So, I remember, 2008, man. I mean, just think about it. This is like, this was like when the, before the iPhone came out, before anything came out.
Oh, before like apps or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
It was amazing.
That?
So 6 years in, with technology seems like forever.
Yeah.
But, we started with 9 shows and, many of them are not with us anymore, or with the station, not with us, passed away or anything.
Like everyone that started with LA Talk Radio has died.
Has died.
Except for Sam.
Yeah,
I think we need to investigate.
Yeah.
Huh? Before we know it, we're going to have like cops knocking at our door like,
It must be the water or
detectives
something.
Like, we have 8 homicides, 9 homicides right now to deal with. What did I just hear?
And now we have about over 80 shows, and everybody is extremely happy. You know what I like about this place is people walk in with a smile, and they leave even with a bigger smile.
Yes, they do.
And yeah.
February 4th is the day to start new business ventures.
I know. I just wish I owned a little zit on Zuckerberg's ass to, as far as his money and everything. If I could just have just a little bit, just a little bit of that.
Like, wait, where are you going with this? A zit on his ass?
Yeah,
like,
what are you
talking about?
Well, since it's small compared to his body, I figured if I can have a small part of his money, it was a bad analogy. Forget about
it. Let's move on.
Zit on his ass. Well, that's how I feel,
Don't we all, Sam?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't we all?
Yeah. So we got some cupcakes here and cake and everything, and this is amazing. Dina brought it in, and it's amazing. So
it's like a hostess overload up in here.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna get like sugar high from everybody's gonna be like bouncing off the walls here,
right?
Yeah, and this is funny because I wanted to bring this up. There's an article this morning that sugar not only makes you fat, it can kill you.
Oh, for sure.
How do you know that?
About sugar?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's so bad for you. It's sugar.
Really? I didn't realize it was bad, though. They're saying...
I mean, that's if you obviously have, way more than your body can handle. If that's all you're eating and you're not having your daily, fruits and vegetables and, lean meats or whatever,
they're saying if you drink soda every day, that's too much sugar, too. Luckily, I drink diet, so something else is going to kill me, not the sugar.
I was going to say, don't they put something in the diet that like
yeah,
make it even more bad for you or something? Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's funny. I never really got into, we call it pop
right.
in the Midwest.
Right.
Here it's soda. Yeah. We call it pop, or right. pop, I should say, with my pop. Chicago accent.
I know. I loved your mom's accent yesterday, man. She's got a really heavy accent.
She does. Yeah, she does. I mean, mostly everybody does over there.
Yeah,
you know,
and
of course,
true.
It rubs off on me every now and then having her around. Or when I go home, I'm like, immersed in it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I come back, people are like, oh, hi, your accent came back. I'm like, ah, oh, shit. But
that's funny.
Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, pop.
Right.
When I was a kid, I never liked it. For some reason, the carbonation
right.
was I don't know, it just freaked me out. Like, it fizzled on my tongue, and I just thought it was weird.
Really?
So I could never into it. And wow. I always got made fun of, because that yeah. was the cool thing at birthday parties. They get pizza, and those huge liters of, Orange Crush or right. Coca-Cola or Pepsi or whatever. And I was like, oh, can I just, have water? And it was because I don't like it. And after a while, kids start, there's kids are so mean, but they were making such fun of me because they're like, well, all the cool kids drink Coca-Cola.
Are you
what's
serious?
Wrong with you? Yeah, so
wow.
I started saying I was kids allergic. I started saying I was allergic to pop because it was, what I mean?
Wow.
Think about it.
The peer pressure, huh?
Yeah.
Wow,
and
it's amazing.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing now because they're all, having issues and, probably fat and whatever. And I'm still the right. same and a lot less, sugar intake because I never got into it from the start. So
what about chocolate and stuff? Do you eat chocolate?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely a chocoholic. But right. dark chocolate is very high in antioxidants. So
right.
that's usually what I, if I'm really craving, I have a crazy sweet tooth or whatever.
Right.
I'll eat some dark chocolate.
I see. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I don't think about healthy or not when I eat chocolate. I just eat chocolate.
Well, I enjoy the taste too.
Yeah.
But I milk chocolate and I love white chocolate.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I like the cookies and cream combo. Uh-huh. Don't even get me started. So good. But they buy the big bars, the huge the hunks, I call it. When I go to the gym, there's a Fresh and Easy right there.
Right.
So I'll go and I'll buy one of the big hunks. And it's kind of funny because there's a silhouette of a dude's abs on it, And it's a hunk of chocolate. I'm like, haha, I get it. For the longest time, I'm like, what is that little picture in the corner? And I'm like, oh, it's a man's abdomen and his very nice stomach, six-pack status. I'm like, oh, I get it. But it's this huge block of dark chocolate, and I just, break it up and keep it in my fridge and just,
Yeah.
A lot of peace.
See, for me, the pop story, was different. It was exact opposite. I remember when I was young and, I was in Israel and everything, and I must have been maybe 10 years old when they brought mm-hmm. Coca-Cola there.
Oh.
So at that point, my dad would bring cases of them, every Friday he would bring cases for the whole week and stuff, with those cool bottles, mm-hmm. the curved bottles and everything.
Fancy.
And we just fell in love with it. And to this day, we drink Coca-Cola, my brothers and I,
aww,
so it's funny.
Yeah.
But, it depends on how you're raised, and what you eat and
right.
drink as a kid.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Even my mom doesn't drink, she doesn't drink any pop. And my dad, maybe that are just obsessed with Diet Coke. They just have to have it with everything.
With everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is, but obviously it's not.
But everybody's got their vice,
Yeah. I know, so. Not healthy, but, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. So, on a more sober note, we should probably bring up the fact that you're going to be leaving.
Oh, yes. I guess we should.
I guess we
Ticket
should.
Ticket is finalized.
Yeah, you're looking at me like, what are you talking about? I hope that was wrong. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, we... we almost parted at the end of the year last year because
right.
things were coming up, and now the things are really happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna have to see you leave, and that's pretty sad.
Yeah,
you know?
I know it is. It is really sad, but
yeah,
I will be gone for quite a lengthy amount of time yeah. for this job. So
yeah, well, good for you. You know,
thank
I
you.
Mean, it's amazing. And, I think it's the beginning of or the start of something big, you know, and you should definitely pursue your career and your dreams and your desires and everything, you know.
Thanks.
And yeah, the radio station is just sort of like a springboard into bigger, better things, you know. But you've been here a while, right? Since what
yeah,
you say
since
June,
like
right?
May or something, right? May or
May,
June?
May, June, right, yeah. So, well, it's almost a year.
Yeah, yeah. Almost. Almost. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So, I know. We've enjoyed having you here and everything. And,
thank you.
We'll enjoy the last few days together, you know.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
I'll give more, you know, details once I have, you know, flights booked already and everything. But I'll give a lot more details on my... on my job, my trip when I have them.
Right?
So, yeah, yeah, maybe within the next couple days because it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I mean it's like a dream job, you know. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, you get to travel and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so good for you. You
Thanks.
Know, I'm happy. Okay, well, we better bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently, and I know he wants to get in on the conversation. So why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us, because from what I understand, you're a good friend,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
My good friend, Matt Smiley. He's got the best name ever.
Yeah, he does.
Smiley.
Matt Smiley, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So you have a name where people can actually say the entire name and feel okay with it, you know? It's not like usually you call people by their first name, but hey, Matt Smiley, what's going on, you know? And it's like it goes together so well.
Yeah, it really does. And, but it's usually even growing up, people are always like, is that your real name?
Really?
And I have to be like, yeah. They're like, are you smiling? Do you smile all the time?
Right.
I'm like, yes, of course, every time, even in bad situations.
Yeah. That's funny, you know, but they say that, you know, last names were given to people like in the old days and stuff based on things that they were. So, you know, you have like carpenter and all these names, you know, of people that did things, you know. So maybe your family was smiling all the time, you know.
Yeah, they were smiling, but it was originally a Jewish name, and before and during the war, it's changed from Smilovich to
Oh,
Smiley.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Do you think that, so? But it probably doesn't mean smile in German or whatever, or Polish, whatever name
Yeah, I think
that
it
is.
Would be Romanian.
Romanian?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I see. Wow. Wow. Yeah, my family is from Europe as well. And did you have any family lost in the Holocaust that you know of?
That I know of, not really, because my extended family, I never really got to know that well.
Oh, I see. Okay. But did you still have family there when your parents came here?
When they came here, they were everybody had already transferred over. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty pretty sad. You know, my dad was born in Greece, and my grandfather, a few years before, actually 6 years before the war, he already saw things were starting to happen. So he took the family, and they moved to Israel and stuff. And so my dad was only 1 year old, you know, so he doesn't remember anything. But what I can tell you is the family that did stay behind, they all perished, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty sad stuff.
Yeah, it's sad. The ancestries, they just disappear.
And then they had to change names and everything, you know, just so they don't get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is cool. I mean, have you gotten into the history of your family at all?
I've tried to a little bit. And I know I had a woman that had raised me when I was a kid she was a historian. So she would go back and into the ancestry. But I know I had a great, great aunt who, you know, I got to study a little bit of her life, which I started to learn a little bit about. But she had already moved to Canada fairly young as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is cool. So you had a woman that raised you when you were young?
Yeah.
What happened to your parents?
Well, my mom passed away. She had a cirrhosis of the liver. And then,
really? And you were young at the time?
I mean, I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
You didn't
know
that?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's tough, huh? How old were you?
I guess about 17.
17, wow. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any age where you can actually deal with something like that, huh? But I guess when you understand, it's harder.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like when you were a baby and stuff. But, yeah, so you were with your dad for a while?
And yeah.
You were, and he was raising you and stuff,
yeah.
Right? Did you have any siblings or anything?
I have a sister, and then I have five stepbrothers.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you had an older sister before you?
Yeah. And oh, she's actually okay. In Los Angeles. They arrived yesterday with my niece and nephew.
Oh, really? Where did they live?
They live actually in northern British Columbia.
Oh, really? Oh. Are you Canadian too?
I'm originally Canadian, but from the East Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's cool. Where in the East Coast?
From Montreal.
Montreal. That's mm-hmm. what I was going to say. So do you speak French too?
Yeah.
Parlez-vous français?
Bien sûr.
But of course.
Bien sûr. Yeah.
That's cool. So has it gotten cold in here or is it me, Mia? I mean, I'm like getting really cold.
Are you
here.
Chilly?
You should probably eat your cupcake. That's true. There's a lot of sugar that will keep you warm.
I know. That's true.
I didn't know that I would die having eaten about four of them already.
Well, we're going to share all of them, you know, but. Yeah, I forgot to tell you, I'm sporting some new clothes, Mia. Check it out. I get some really cool jeans.
Oh, look at you, Sam.
and I get a new shirt. And it's a celebration because I go only once a year to buy clothes.
I know.
It's really hard to get me to go buy clothes. So when I do, I'm like really happy and celebrating and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Sam has his black shirt, his white shirt, his blue and white shirt.
Oh, the ones I have at
home? Red and white shirt. Yeah.
No, I have a million freaking shirts. Relax. But I have many black ones. That's why, you know, that's why it seems like I'm wearing the same one. But I love black shirts. So I have like 10 black t-shirts, you know. And that's what you see a lot. But yeah, it's time to change a little bit and change it up a little bit and stuff. So
yeah, it's kind of crazy to say. I feel like even I'll have to do that at some point, look back through all of our photos with guests and everything and figure out like, because I really don't think that I've ever worn the same outfit.
You never
twice.
Have. I'm here to tell you that.
That is not surprising.
Well, like this, I have this like cool little vesty thingy on today and it's new.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got it back in Chicago.
Oh,
so
nice!
It's kind of a cute little like
so
sweater.
What's
thing.
Amazing is how you remember the things you've already worn in the last 8 months or so. For crying out loud!
I have a really good memory. So.
Yeah, and a huge wardrobe. Come on!
I was actually with a bunch of people from Chicago this weekend in Santa Barbara
for
the Santa Barbara Film Festival.
Oh.
It was a filmmaker, Alex Bay, who did a movie called Warren that they shot all in Chicago that was really, really special and touching.
Wow, cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So at what point, so you had a woman that raised you. Is that like your dad's mate?
Yeah.
Or spouse, whatever?
It was his girlfriend for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But he would travel a lot, so I wouldn't get to see him that much. So she would come and do my homework. Probably like the reason I didn't, you know, well, I would never end up in prison. But probably just wouldn't end up in trouble.
Yeah.
Kids and vandalizing and doing, random things.
So did you call her mom?
I never really did. We would actually call her Lulu.
Oh, okay.
And I have no idea where that actually spawned from, and I'm pretty sure at some point in the next couple of months when I see her, I'll ask her how that actually started.
Amazing. And your dad traveled a lot? What was he doing?
He was an entertainment lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they get to travel a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I grew up, mostly on like movie sets and stuff like that, which was kind of cool.
Really?
Probably why I'm stuck here.
One second, a little heads up. My mom is saying, it's weird. I can't hear the show. Channel 2 works, but not your channel. I heard a few minutes of it, then it stopped. Channel 1 is not working, but the archives
are working. No, it's working. Tell her to shut it off and start again.
All right, I just want to make sure like this whole show is
wait a minute. I'm seeing a couple drops here. I'm seeing a couple drops. What the hell?
Mom updates.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, but it should be fine. I mean, now it's good. So just close the player and turn it back on. I don't know what else to tell you. But, wow, this
actually just called me. I'm thinking,
why?
She knows, like, I'm on the air right now. Why would she try calling me?
So maybe she thinks we're not on the air, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, sorry, carry on.
Does your mom listen to you every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
For the most part, huh?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, she'll have like her, you know, like her laptop up. She has like two, you know, laptops when she's working. So I guess she has like a little like earpiece thing so she can listen.
Right.
And then on the other end, she's got like her phone.
Her phone.
You know, so she like multitasks and she'll work while, you know, listening to the show.
That's cool.
Whatever she misses, she'll, you know, listen to later in the archives.
Yeah. Hold on. There's a phone call. Let's see if it's not a wrong number.
No, it's probably
good morning.
My mom.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Sam, lest anyone worry their pretty little heads, the stream is fine. You are coming through loud and proud.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. How's it
and
going,
by the
Greg?
Way, happy birthday.
Thank you. I can always count on you to call in and congratulate us and everything. And this is amazing. You know, Greg, I told you about, he's called before.
Yeah.
He does the barbecue show, and he's also the voice of all our intros and everything. So Greg was with us. He's still one of the original hosts on the station, and he's in Cleveland.
Oh,
right. He's still in Cleveland, Greg.
Yeah, still in Cleveland. Still the place where we kidnap girls for around about 10 years and hold them in basements against their will.
Scary.
Wow. Good morning.
It does happen there. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that happened there.
Mia just booked a flight.
Yeah.
No, that's actually not where I'm going.
Yeah. But no, that's true. It's Cleveland where the guy kept the three girls there for 20 years or something. How long was it?
Yeah, but 10 years. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. That's 10 years, right. Greg, so how's everything, man? I mean, I get a chance to talk to you, so tell us what's going on, man.
Yeah, I mean, everything is good. The show continues to be able to something that I'm able to do every week, which, you know, when we started 6 years ago, I always like to tell the story of you being a little trepidatious on going, well, are you going to be able to sustain a show that talks about barbecue for longer than one show?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, sure, this whole culture and blah, blah, blah. You know, fast forward 6 years, here we are. And
you still talk about barbecue.
Yeah, still. I can't believe we haven't covered everything yet, but obviously there's things to talk about.
I know, and that's amazing. You know, I mean, sometimes I give people examples of people that have been with us for a long time. And I go, you know, we have Greg Rempe. He's done a barbecue show, and he still, after 6 years, has a lot to say about barbecue. And people like to laugh at it, but it's a great story, you know.
That's
because,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love barbecue.
It's just, you know, one of those things.
Barbecue sauce.
Where, and it's like anything, right? If you find a subject or a topic that you're passionate about, you kind of delve into it, and you realize there's all of these different facets that make up the industry, which allows me. And over time, you know, I fashioned the show to make it kind of repeatable, but I cover a bunch of different arenas within the industry, and that's kind of what makes the show fresh and allows me to talk about it even after 6 years.
Right. And people should know also, it's not like every week you tell them how to cook and how to barbecue. You have contests, you have people that are known cooks, chefs, right? So it's a pretty variety show. It's not the same.
The key thing to remember is when you hear the word Barbecue Central Show, a lot of people think that I'm going to be on there somehow cooking. This is not Food Network or the Cooking Channel or anything like that. I mean, I love to cook barbecue, of course. But this is a what I call like the ESPN of barbecue. I'm interviewing competitors. I'm interviewing pit makers, accessory makers. All industry-related stuff, and I'm just kind of a moderator of conversation.
Right. Well, sounds good, man.
Pretty fucking funny, by the way.
It is pretty fucking funny, man. Yeah, and you are, too. You definitely are funny. And maybe I'll play a couple of the clips you made for us here. Of what do I still have here? Let's see. I have George Takei.
Yeah, you got to do the masturbation one.
No, I don't have that one. Well, I do, but I just...
That was the first one I ever did. It was so good.
Yeah, I don't have it queued up or anything, but I'm sure it's here somewhere. I'll have to dig it up. But we have your Borat here. You want to hear it?
Well...
Yeah, let's play Borat.
I think I've heard it before.
Yeah, you have, but I want the other people to hear it. So listen to this.
Right.
You remember Borat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could say the F word on the radio.
Yeah, you can. You can.
It's uncensored.
That's amazing.
And Greg will always remind you,
I can
too.
Relax now.
He drops the bombs, man. But this is cool. So this is Greg doing Borat. Okay, listen to this.
Hello, this is Borat Zakir. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Oh, wow.
I love to gently cup my balls.
Yeah, there you go. Do you know who George Takei is? You probably don't. He was on Star Trek like a long time ago. Oh, okay. And now he's a regular on Howard Stern. He came out as gay and everything. So he's become like...
He's an Asian guy.
Yeah, he's an Asian guy. Yeah. But he's a lot older now, you know. Hmm. So he gets on Howard Stern and stuff. But he's got a distinct voice. So, and Greg got him down, you know, perfect. So listen to this.
Sounds like the intro to a porn.
Hello, George Takei here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and rad are the confines the FCC plates on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Wow.
Oh, Greg, man.
Oh my.
That's what happens when you let Greg run free and wild.
Obviously, there was a point in time when I was a little unemployed and had some free time on my hands.
Yeah, that's true. At a time when we were a lot more gross on the show than we are now.
Oh, no doubt about it. Let me say this, Sam, in closing.
Yes.
And I didn't think it would be possible after the last co-host, but Mia has to be the hottest co-host you've ever had in your life. She's so hot. Oh, my God.
Not only is she hot, the hottest co-host, she's the hottest woman I've ever met in my life. Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
And so everybody,
hot. I can't believe how hot she is.
I know. And everybody in the world feels the same way. That's why she's, like, moving on, you know.
She
needs to be a supermodel, you know. I mean, she's got what it takes, you know. Like, I mean, on the level of Bar Raffaelli and everything, I'm telling you.
Oh, thank
easily.
You.
Yeah,
but
easily.
You probably wouldn't be making out with nerds in the Super Bowl. She's way too classy for that.
Well, you don't know.
Oh, Jesse.
For the right amount. For the right amount, you'll kiss a pig, you know.
Everybody's got a price.
There you go. But so that's why she doesn't belong on radio. She belongs in front of the camera. So,
no doubt.
Yeah.
So hot.
Radio, right, video, Greg. Podcast.
Yeah. There you go. Greg, thank you so much for calling in, my friend. And,
all right, Sam.
I'll always cherish the friendship with you, man. So take
sure,
care.
That didn't sound too gay, so thank you for that.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, thanks,
bud. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he always likes to bring it up
thank
and everything.
You.
Yeah. It's not gay, it's not gay. You know?
Welcome to Cleveland.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, back to Matt.
Yes.
And so at what point did you... so you were traveling a lot. You were on movie sets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you move from Canada to the United States? I mean, did you move directly here or somewhere else?
I moved directly to Los Angeles about 11 years ago.
Oh, okay. So, and what made you move?
Mainly the film industry. I did want to... I worked as an actor as a kid, did a lot of commercials, TV shows, and then decided I wanted to pursue it here.
Nice. And I would imagine if you have a dad in the industry, he was probably supporting you in that, right? Where most people
the
are
opposite.
Like, really?
Wow.
Because most people are like, get a real job, right?
Yeah. Or they try to protect you.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea.
Especially when he's a lawyer and he deals with all the underbelly of the industry.
That was a really good like Batman sound, by the way.
Is it?
That was kind of like, yeah, the... Don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Maybe I should just take over from Ben Affleck.
From Ben Affleck, yeah.
I'll start acting again. Who wants to direct? Oh, wait, Ben Affleck also directs. So
that's true, yeah. Well, but he's actually
he's
pretty
good.
He's
a good director. Argo
yeah.
was amazing.
He's great. I think some I of his, I mean, and some of his movies, I mean, his three films have some of the highest rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
They're all over cool. like 95%. So, I mean.
Yeah. And he actually directed Good Will Hunting too, right? I mean, he was in it with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
But
Gus Van Sant, I think, directed
did he,
it.
Oh, like, did yeah. he really?
He wrote the screenplay. Him like and Matt Damon
oh, yeah,
wrote
the screenplay,
and they won.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were some of the youngest guys to ever win an Academy Award for screenwriting.
Right.
Wow.
And it was an excellent movie. If you never saw it, you should see it. It's amazing. Yeah, it's
and then so I think good. They had to live the rest of their, I think, career getting laughed at for their acceptance speech.
Really?
They were really, really excited, which I would be too. I don't even know if I would be able
to
talk.
I have to Google that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to, okay.
They have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yes! Awesome! Go Boston!
Oh, yeah.
No. Well, they deserve the success, though. I mean, they're very good at what they do, you know.
Yeah.
So so you decided to do acting here. And how old were you when you moved?
I was 21, pretty much.
Okay,
I mean,
so you were young.
At 18, I started to come do pilot seasons. And then at 21, I decided to, you know, get an O-1 visa and really give it a push.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So college wasn't for you, right? You didn't go to college or anything?
No.
Yeah, you're
I did
a creative
sneak
type.
Into a bunch of classes. I wanted to pretend that I was smart. And it was a University of McGill in Montreal. And I was like, oh, well, there's also cute girls. So maybe I could, like, sneak into class. And,
yeah.
And so
it's not about being smart. It's about liking school or not liking school. You know, that's all it's about, you know. I mean, there's a lot of smart people never went to college. It has nothing to do with it, really. And so, but you're a creative type. There's no way you can sit behind a desk and study for hours and hours, right?
No, it's nearly impossible. And I've always been extremely independent. And I seem to always go against the grain in terms of doing stuff. Uh-huh. And so I think that sort of plays a role into school with not always the best surrounding for me.
Right. So now, did you know anyone when you moved here?
I did. I had a few friends. I had a big community of Canadian actors that were here that were doing TV shows. And so I definitely had like a pretty good community here.
How did you find them?
They were friends that I'd worked with like in Canada that had done
shows. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So you knew them before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So then you come here, you find your group and everything, and you get situated. What was the first thing you did?
Here, I did a bunch of things, but most...
No, I mean, like, did you get an apartment right away? Did you move in with people?
I actually moved in with a friend who was on a TV show and was a... And they were very sweet. They were actually on 24, which was a great show.
Oh, wow.
And I had originally planned to come here for, I think, a week during the American film market. And they were like, well, why don't you just stay? And I was like, that is a great idea.
Never thought
about
it. It's
sunny all the time. It's not minus 40.
Right.
Done.
Yeah. Beautiful women, beautiful weather.
Yep.
Beautiful everything.
I was in. Sign me up.
Yeah.
And then, so I stayed longer than I probably should have because after, you know, as Canadians, I think you're allowed to stay here for 6 months.
Yeah.
And so I had like immigration. They're like, you've been here over 6 months.
Oh, wow.
I was like, uh-oh. Okay, I'll go home and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to figure out a way to do this. Let's get successful quickly.
Yeah. So they actually let you back after you had stayed longer?
Yeah, well, I was really close to the limit, and then so I was going back and forth like fairly often, but there's only like a certain amount of days that you're allowed to be here.
Right.
And then eventually, I just ended up going and doing the O-1 visa, which was a great idea.
Okay. How do you get that visa? Like, you say you're going to work or something? Or?
Well, I think the main thing for that is it's extraordinary abilities in the arts, which is a hard thing to get. But I think having worked as a kid in the industry, and then I had done a movie, I think it was in 2004, which allowed me to really get my visa. And it was a film that I had shot in Japan.
Oh, cool.
That had gotten a lot of international accolades. And we had won a special mention prize at the Berlin Film Festival.
Very nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Very nice. So did that ever open up doors for you, having been in that film?
I thought so. And I know probably if I would have stayed in Canada, it was like, oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
And then I come here, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to show Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm going to show Hollywood who I am.
Right.
And they're like, who are you? What is this
movie? That's the same story.
This is
for
an
everyone.
Art film?
Yeah.
What is that? Do those make money?
So funny. I feel like we all like move here with that same kind of thing. Like we've
done
like the biggest thing we could possibly do in our hometown, and then we're like, yes, this is amazing. I'm going to conquer Hollywood.
Like one of a million?
Yeah, exactly. Remember one of our guests, we were talking about this, how many beautiful women come to L.A. and they come from a small town where they're like the hottest girl. The hottest. And then they come here and there's a million other hot girls too, you know.
And I'm like, oops.
Okay. I don't stand out as much anymore, you know.
Yeah, which is, I think, for me where I discovered writing. And I had worked on a book project for LVMH, Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, for about 4 years. And did followed Bernard Arnault, who's one of the, I don't know, top 20 richest men in the world.
Wow.
But he's like really a turnaround king, and watching, you know, going through that whole process, and got to interview a lot of really big business leaders, and even, you know, fashion people, like, say, even John Galliano, which people don't really talk about anymore.
Right.
But moving from that into screenwriting, I always had more of a drive and direction for that. And I've noticed in recent years, a lot with a lot of our friends, not just looking at acting, but they've morphed into really filmmakers. And the more you realize it, you're like, either I'm getting older or all my friends are actually serious and like filmmakers.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. So how were you maintaining yourself? Did you get a regular job, or did you bring some money with you? How did it happen?
Because
many people, you know, they come here, they don't know what the hell's going on, you know? How do I get started? So what was your story?
I was fortunate enough when I first came out that I was working consistently to have a little bit of money, which was good. And then once I got here, I'm like, wow, it's going so fast. So then I definitely had a good support group. And then, as we all know, in Hollywood, running around in a fast circle, money goes quick.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's literally where I started writing and having more of a penchant for that. And
nice.
Working, for 4 years on the book definitely carried me through quite well, and then was able to focus on screenwriting.
Great.
Yeah, come to think of it, actually, a lot of people in our like circle of friends are like into writing and doing their own projects and all that.
Well, I think also
dawned on me.
For a lot of actors, you have a lot of free time. Like, right. I don't think you ever quit, but I pretty much quit about 4 years ago because I really love producing, directing, and writing. But you look at, like, a lot of actors, you have so much free time, especially even if you're busy on a movie set, you'll have, like, 2 or 3 days where you have, like, nothing to do.
Right, yeah.
And all you do is read scripts, so I think there's no way that, as an actor, you can't be a good writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, you know. So did you complete the book?
We completed it almost 3 years ago, but it probably won't come out for a while.
We'll see, really?
Because he's still very successful and still has a lot more things to conquer.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So it's a fiction story, right?
It's a true story. And, it's basically a young kid from, you know, northern France who ended up taking over a company called Boussac that owned a little piece of Christian Dior.
Oh, nice.
And he's now turned it into one of the largest luxury goods company in the world.
Wow. Yeah. How did the idea come up for you?
I just worked with a friend on it who knew the company quite well. And then I ended up working on it for 4 years, and it was an amazing project. So got to meet like even Frank Gehry here, because they've been building and designing, I think, since 2001, a museum in the Jardin d'Acclimatation in Paris. Mm-hmm. That is this giant iceberg coming out of the water.
Wow.
That Frank Gehry designed, that I think will be probably one of the second largest, most visited landmarks to the Eiffel Tower.
And
because of what an amazing art collection of modern art that Louis Vuitton has, that it'll be pretty, I think, hopefully it'll be one of my favorite museums in the world, because I love museums.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Have you traveled quite a bit?
I've been fortunate to travel a lot, but I feel like a lot to the same destinations.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, I've been to Thailand, I've been to Japan, I've been pretty much all over Europe, but there's so many places. You always want to go so many more places.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
I do love... I do love France a lot, actually, and I've spent a number of time, a lot of time there, and I think it's mainly the history and a lot of the museums.
There is a lot of history.
There's so much history, which we don't necessarily have here.
Right.
And it's just looking at buildings and looking, even in Berlin, when you look at some of these old buildings, I know it's a mishmash of new and old.
Right. No, I mean, we've got like a history of 250 years. Europe, you're talking about thousands of years, you know, so it's quite different. But, yeah, like, I mean, you know, like the revolution started there, you know, and then it came here and all that stuff. And it sort of caught on, but it started in France, you know. But, and plus you have the advantage of the language as well when you go there, right?
Yeah, but I was originally French Canadian, even though I don't have, well, I can do both accents.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Wow. They don't love poutine in France.
What's that?
Poutine is like a traditional French Canadian dish, but it's more like what you would get if you go out and get hot dogs.
Oh.
And it's like French fries with barbecue sauce and cheese curds. It sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
Well, it sounds really good, actually.
Actually, yeah, I'd probably eat that.
It's one of those
late
night.
Like a fat and happy week, like, heck yes.
You can have one after you have the cupcakes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Great. So so you started going to auditions and stuff after you came here, and how did it work?
Yeah, I came here, and I started going. I signed with a really great manager, and she was awesome and started sending me out to a whole bunch of stuff. And the more I went out, the more I realized that I didn't really want to be on TV shows or stuff like CSI, and I couldn't really get into it. And I have like more of a drive towards independent films, which is what I'd grown up on.
That's interesting, yeah.
And which is where I was like, you know, you can't fake it. So I'm like, as an actor, you suck. No, but yeah, I need to be emotionally invested into something to actually to care about it, which
right.
is probably yeah. where I ended up making documentary films.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're finding your niche and stuff, you know. So you started making documentaries?
Yeah, well, I actually worked with a hugely successful French filmmaker, a guy called Danny Boone. He's a French comedian who's made two of the most successful movies in French history. And right after he did his first one, that in France, I think it had 20 million entries, which is huge, because
wow.
I think the most successful movie before that had maybe 5 or 7 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like pretty much everybody in France went to see his movie 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then Will Smith bought his movie and Warner Brothers, and they made a whole big thing about it. So I worked with him for a few years, and after that I really had a drive to want to... It actually just happened. I went to a trip up north in Canada to go visit my sister in northern British Columbia, where they do a lot of mining, tree planting, tree excavation, and I had found out about missing and murdered women in northern British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the Highway
That's
of
the,
Tears one?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
And yeah, there's a one particular stretch of highway in northern BC where it's about, let's say, 550 miles of road up near Alaska, Northwest Territories, and the Yukon, where since the late 1960s, over 40 women have gone missing or been murdered along this one particular stretch of
Whoa.
Highway. Wow. Which is scary, but also in some, you know, one of the biggest cities in that area is only 70,000 people. So when you think about, you know, just one girl, two girls, or three going missing or turning up murdered, that it really destroys the entire community.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Like
yeah.
in a big city, we do hear about these things that happen, but when it happens that much,
right.
and when and they're predominantly Aboriginal First Nations women, so they're not, you know, covered in the media.
Right.
Nobody really cares about it. You know, there are obviously some police officers that do, but in general, because they're Aboriginal or First Nations women, the police will be like, oh, you know, she's probably going to come back, or you guys are poor. She probably wanted to go to Vancouver, and then, you know, there's the sad tragedy of months later where they find out that she's murdered. And a lot of these cases, you know, dating back to the late 1960s, where they started really documenting them, haven't been solved.
Wow. And so is this still happening?
This is still happening. There's still women that are going missing. There's one, you know, had I not, now I'm pretty tuned in with a lot of the community leaders there and a lot of the families. There are still women going missing. I know there was a young girl just maybe 6 months ago or so. I was touching base with a gentleman who I had interviewed for the documentary that his mother was murdered when he was a young child. And I had just touched base to him to get a photo of his mom and just to show how tradition follows or in these very poor communities is that his niece had just gone away drinking with three friends just outside of their reservation and never came back. And wow. She's still missing.
Wow.
Gosh, that's so crazy. That sounds like, I can't wait to see that. It sounds so, so interesting.
Yeah.
And it'll definitely like raise awareness too, I feel
and
like.
It's mysterious as hell, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's weird. You know, I never really thought, and it wasn't a topic, and I know when I started covering it, it's not really like something that's people really talk about very much. Right. I mean, there are a lot of shows about murder and disappearances. And I know, you know, 48 Hours actually covered something about the Highway of Tears. But on a very surface level where there's right. deep, you know, it's generational poverty. It's systemic racism that goes back for generations.
Right. And it's so remote out there, you know, that people probably rarely care as to what happens there, you know?
Yeah, they don't. A lot of them don't have any opportunities. They don't have driver's licenses. And, you know, education is hard. If a woman wants to go to, you know, a hospital or anything like that, she'll have to hitchhike if the town's like 4 hours away. And it's all logging trucks. And so it's more predators by opportunity.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Scary
That's
to think true. About. Yeah.
I know. So you're working on that film? I mean,
I literally finished it about a week ago. But I just partnered up, actually, with the Human Rights Watch.
Uh-huh.
Which is a huge, huge international organization, pretty much the same as the United Nations, because they covered actually a similar topic.
Uh-huh.
They issued a report, you know, on police brutality, but also on Canada-wide, it's over 600 women that have been reported missing and or murdered, predominantly
God.
Aboriginal.
Wow.
And, most people think of Canada, they're like, oh, wow, yeah. You know, it seems like a safe place. I guess not.
Yeah.
But they have the same thing here south of the border in Mexico.
That's
very
true.
Similar stories.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, do you want to promote the film? I mean, do you want to promote anything?
That film, we are actually premiering at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival that is run by the Toronto Film Festival, TIFF,
okay.
on March 6th. And so that'll be quite a special. I know there's a lot of politicians and people that are coming to see that because they're trying
nice.
To push forward to do a national inquiry.
Right.
Into
so it'll be a lot more relevant in Canada than it will here, right? Or
I think it's going to cross over a little bit because what they actually figured, they've actually solved one case in the last 30 years, documented case. It was a serial killer, and he was actually from Oregon. Mm. And he was a transient roofer. His name was Bobby Jack Fowler, and he was going up towards Vancouver, up to the north.
Right.
But they actually, he's been dead for several years, but they linked him through DNA. I think it was Interpol and the U.S. government had shared all their DNA findings, so they found they tracked him down to a murder from 1978.
Wow!
Oh my God!
So you know it's pretty amazing the advancements for you know police work and investigative work. Like it
right.
gives hope to a lot of these families. Sometimes maybe false hope, but it's quite impressive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so how can people find it? I mean, is it going to be distributed here in the U.S.?
Yeah, we've actually been in talks with. I've just been really floored and surprised because I did everything pretty much on my own with my producing partner Carly Pope, And now we've got this big organization that's behind us and a great agency too, pushing to for our distribution deal.
Right.
And so it looks like a lot of people will be able to see it. And, you know, there's some great musicians. I had some Grammy-nominated and Grammy-winning artists that, that played on the soundtrack.
Right.
Wow. Some guys that have worked with Eminem and Pink. A guy called Chin and Jetty, and also Danny Keys, who works with DJ Khalil, which they mostly do a lot of like hip-hop, rap music. Right. But I know Danny Keys, who for this particular project goes by Daniel Tannenbaum, has such a beautiful, emotional, you know, undertone.
Sounds good.
Was there, is there like a website or something?
Yeah, there's a website. It's actually www.highwayoftearsfilm.com.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then there's also like a take action thing if you want to tell the Canadian government to pay attention to their missing and murdered women.
Sounds good, man. Everybody go out, check it out. Highwayoftearsfilm.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Matt Smiley, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely a lot of fun, interesting story. And much success. Congratulations on the film, you know.
Thank you
and
so
on
much.
The book, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I always admire when people put in so much effort. And, you know, you don't know if it's going to succeed or not, but you do it because it's your passion.
Yeah, I realize that. And then sometimes you realize you're like, oh, I'm actually getting more successful. When I stopped to go get my car fixed the other day, my mechanic, who I've known for like 6 years, he's like, hey, you're finally making it. I'm like, really?
I love
all right.
it.
All right.
Too
well,
congratulations.
Matt, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Mia, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you're back to normal and everything. Are you? I mean, are you feeling 100%?
Yes. Yeah. Today's like my last day with the antibiotics. So, yay.
Good for you. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.